I just got to know. SRN News was talking about a venomous cobra. Is there such a thing as a non-venomous cobra?
I've never heard of one.
No, that would be like it would be like a non-venomous rattlesnake. And they said that they want to find the cobra when it is more active, which would be during the cool of the day. You know, last time I checked, cobras were reptiles. They're cold-blooded. Their activity level increases. The more the sun warms them, the more energy they have. The colder it is, the less energy they have.
That's right.
If I were anyone other than that dog's owner, I don't think I would be going looking for the cobra. Well, we're going to see if we can find a non-venomous cobra. Well, we were considering Yanawa's alternative to Pauline Christianity to see if God presented himself and his testimony and his Torah as inadequate, as enslaving, as corrupt, as pornography, as a waste of time, or if he presented it as a good thing. And we're going to begin now with Psalm 37. I'm going to start here around the 27th verse, then we're going to move to the 40th Psalm. And you tell me if you think that this aligns with the Pauline doctrine. Okay. And then it says, this is Psalm 37:27. And then I encourage you to consider acting upon and actively engaging in that which is good, beneficial, moral, agreeable, generous, and pleasing. And as a result, live forever. So is the Torah capable of saving? Based on that statement? Yeah, I would think so. It says if you act on it, you get to live forever. That would indicate to me that the Torah, from God's perspective, can save. Well, how about this one? At that time I shared, behold, I am coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and scribed on my behalf regarding the work you have done and will do to accept me, God. I genuinely want and willingly accept this, your Torah, your instruction and teaching, your guidance and direction is within my midst, part of my inner nature. I have proclaimed the good news of vindication fairly and accurately, responsibly, honestly and correctly in the great assembly and the esteemed community. Behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh. So, according to that, has Dode, this is Dode writing this, has he discarded the Old Testament for a New Testament?
No, he's holding that scroll. He even names that scroll for us all. He said Torah, didn't he?
Torah, yeah. He says, I'm coming with the scroll. So, he's saying here that he is coming to heaven and that God can't even keep him out. And that he is going to be accepted because he's coming with the written scroll of the Torah. So, and he, in fact, he goes so far as to say that the written scroll of the Torah that delineates the work you, Yahweh, have done for me. And I willingly accept it. Even Yahusha, when you read the eyewitness and hearsay accounts on Yahusha and in the Greek text, the announcement of Yahusha to the people included the fact that he was coming as a son of David for the throne of David, the throne of Dode. This is Dode writing this. And so we're talking about him coming in the line of Dode and to establish the kingdom of Dode, then how is it even remotely possible that Dode's testimony regarding the Torah can be wrong, can be different than Yahusha's?
Well, obviously, it couldn't be. It cannot
be.
I mean, it can't be. Or all of Yahweh's words and Yahusha, they would all be meaningless.
You know, can I ask you a question about Daoud? Was he a flawed individual? Did he ever do anything that was inconsistent with the Torah's instructions?
Oh, he did things worse than I have. I mean, he was actually, you know, I mean, when you get a guy killed because you want to, you know, do his wife, that's pretty rough stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's scallywag. Yeah, he's scallywag. He's bad. He's in terms of his behavior, bad boy. Does God say that Daoud is therefore condemned because he violated more than one of the Torah's instructions?
Nope. Not at all.
In fact, does Yahweh actually say that Daoud is righteous, which means that he's vindicated and that he's upright?
Yes, he does.
And when he comes, when he comes back, Yahweh comes back, does he not say that he's coming to establish the kingdom of Daoud?
Yes, he does.
So this guy is in really great a situation with Yahweh. He's as close to Yahweh as a human being can be.
He is the man.
He is the man.
Yeah, I mean that's all there is to it. Is as men go, the most loved is Daoud.
By far.
And,
yeah. Uh-huh.
No,
by far.
And many people want to take what I see Christians do is they take this situation with Bathsheba and, mm-hmm. and his general that he put out front there to be killed as well. But he repented for that. I mean, I've heard him say it. And yes, he did. But he had 700 wives, folks. 700 right. wives.
Yeah.
That means he had sex with 700 women, in case they don't
right.
get that, you know.
Yeah. He aligned with the Philistines for a while. He
sounds like a guy witness. After my own heart, okay?
Yeah, bore false witness there for a while. I mean, by his own statements, he had more flaws than he had hair on his head.
Yeah, and in addition to that, he did all these great things as we look at them, like, you know, standing in front of an army to fight their biggest man, who was essentially a giant. He gathered all the goods to build the temple. And people
right.
think, well, okay, that's what made him. No, it isn't, because Daoud himself said it wasn't anything he had ever done that made his eternal life possible. It was the Torah. And his
that's what he's saying right here, isn't
that Torah?
Yes, that's what he's saying right here. He says, I've accepted the Torah. I'm coming with the Torah. I have incorporated the Torah into the interfabric of my very being, is what he's saying here. So the Torah is his remedy. The Torah is the source of his salvation. And if the Torah is the source of the salvation of a very flawed individual who is loved more by God than anyone else who has ever lived, what does that tell us?
It tells us we might want to take Daoud's perspective on things. And the truth of the matter is that people get caught up in, you know, I've been sharing some notes on Shamar and everything that's mm-hmm. Shem-based lately. And it,
right.
Because people, I obey, like they're, Fido the dog. Go
right.
fetch, you know, and then you go fetch it, and then, okay, you can come into the kingdom.
Right.
When it's really closely observing and understanding Yahweh, because he wants people to know who he is and what he's offering. It's
correct.
About observing. I can observe. I'm an MMA fan. I know
right.
Scott is a football fan.
Right.
You know, Scott can observe a football game without being in it and tell you what
right.
happened.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to watch the opener of the NFL season today. I can tell you that there is a 0% chance that I could play with on either of those two teams. And yet I'm going to observe the game, and I'm going to, I know the rules of the game, and I'm going to watch the game, and I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to observe what occurs. Observe. But, you know, I'm not going to obey the NFL rules. I'm not, but I will observe it. And it's very much like the Torah. Daoud did not obey the Torah. He observed the Torah. observing is what matters, obeying is not. You know what's interesting, by the way, in the two most important words, the two most important verbs relative to the Torah, and the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, according to Yahweh. This is not my opinion. This is what Yahweh says. The two are shamar and shama. Shama means to listen, and shamar means to observe. One uses your ears to process information. The other uses your eyes to accumulate and process information. You know, both begin with the S-H-M root. And you know what the S-H-M root, with the single most used Hebrew word with the S-H-M root is? Shem. Shem means name. And so, as we observe the Torah, it's in our interest to observe His name, to listen to His name. And there is nothing more important. Of all the words in the Torah and the prophets and the Psalms, is really nothing more important than His name. And here even Dode is saying it's His Torah. I'll bet you you have a lot of people talk about Jewish holidays, too. And I hope Larry's still with us. I don't hear him in the background there. I know that he's appraised us of the fact that he may cut out today because they're redoing his Internet connectivity. So since I don't hear him, I'm going to assume that is what has happened. But here is a profoundly important statement by the person that Yahusha respected most, that Yahweh respects most, that God loves more than anyone else. And here he is writing, at that time I shared, behold, I am coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and inscribed on my behalf. You know, he personalized it, which is what we ought to do. I personalize the Torah. I view it that it was scribed on my behalf. I'm not being selfish. It was scribed on your behalf as well. It was scribed on our behalf. But the fact it was scribed on our behalf, it was still scribed on my behalf. Just as it was scribed on Doe's behalf. Fatherly advice to him, fatherly advice to you and me. And when we cling to it, then we are welcome into Yahweh's home. According to Yahusha, according to Yahweh, there is no one that God esteems more among men than Dode. And he wrote these words. At that time I shared, behold, I am coming with the scroll of the written document which was dictated and scribed on my behalf, regarding the work you have done and will do to accept me, God. I genuinely want and accept this, your Torah. You see, the Torah actually is a witness of the work that Yahweh has done and will do. It's a witness of the work that he did to create the universe, to initiate the covenant relationship, to establish the means to liberate his children from slavery in Egypt, and the plan to liberate the entire world from slavery to man's political and religious institutions. All of that is in the Torah, in addition to the absolute proof that Yahweh inspired it, and the means that we can use to determine what else he may have communicated to us. It's all there. But more than anything, it reveals what God has done and will do to free us from human institutions, from human corruption, from religion and politics, not only in Egypt, but the overall plan for all humankind in that regard. That's what the Torah is comprised of. And of that plan, Dode is saying, I accept it. He says, your Torah is not just in his mind. His Torah was literally integrated into his very inner nature. And because it was part of his inner nature, He did what my friend Larry does on a regular basis. He shared it. He just said, you know, I'm going to share what God said because there is no chance I can be wrong if I share what God revealed to us in his Torah. You found that in hundreds of debates, haven't you, Larry?
Well, yeah, I have, because Yahweh's plan never changed.
No.
You know, but men came along and they counterfeited his plan. You know, one of the things that I see in a lot of debates, you know, especially when you get into people who are highly agnostic or atheists even, they will start showing you, look at this deity rose, and this was, you know, 3 days after he was buried, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You got all these counterfeits in there before and after the actual event.
Right.
And so the counterfeit of Christianity, what they do is they simply get you off the path of the Moed Mikra, the mitzvah.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, they disassociate everything that Yosha did from the Torah and from the Moed Mikra, from Passover, unyeasted bread, firstborn children, and the promise of the Sabbath, Shavuah. And yet, even if you read their own New Testament, you find that everything that Yosha said and did was wholly consistent. I mean, he observed the Shabbat. Anyway, he himself was circumcised. I mean, so how in the world do they disassociate everything he's...
He's the living Torah. The Torah flows from his mouth. These are all prophetic proclamations being made about Yahusha.
Yeah.
So,
but even when you read the so-called Christian New Testament, and you read about the words and the deeds of Yahusha, it is impossible to distinguish him from the Torah. You know, and in fact, there's one place I'm reading Luke now, and you know, there's lots of issues with Luke. Luke is writing this as a letter to a friend of his as a historian. He not only wasn't an eyewitness, he wasn't even in association with any of the eyewitnesses. So it's all hearsay testimony. But even though it's hearsay testimony, every place you turn, it's he did this in accordance with the Torah. Then he did this in accordance with the Torah. Then he did this so that the prophecies associated with the Torah would be manifest and fulfilled. And then he opened the scroll of Yeshayah and read about how all of this was being fulfilled in their presence. And you wonder, okay, dear Christian, how is it possible that based upon that testimony, you could differentiate Yosha from the Torah? Everything he did was in absolute perfect harmony with the Torah. As you said, Larry, he walked out of the pages of the Torah. And yet, because of Paul's attack on the Torah, the religion of Christianity now is a counterfeit that's at war with the very foundation of God's testimony, the very opposite approach that David took. We'll be back with Larry. Dode, known as David, wrote, "Your Torah, your instruction, your teaching, your guidance, your direction is within the midst of my inner nature. It is incorporated into the very fabric of his life. I have proclaimed the good news of vindication fairly and accurately." Speaking of the Torah, he says that the Torah provides the good news of vindication. You know, when you know Christians think that the gospel is what is going to be spread, is there any such thing? Did Yosha ever speak of gospel? Well, the good news is the Bashar. And Bashar represents the healing and beneficial news of the Torah. And when Yosha spoke about the proclamation of the good news, he was using the Hebrew word Bashar just as Doge did here, promoting and proclaiming the good news of the Torah and how the Torah vindicates. That's the good news. It's not a Christian gospel. It's not a news based upon a cute little goddesses, the Charis, the Gratia, the Graces. It's not this good news of faith. No. The good news that is being proclaimed, the Bashar, is the Torah. And the fact that the Torah is what vindicates when you incorporate it into your life, as Doe did. And he says, behold, my lips have not been restrained, Yahweh. When you know the truth, like Larry knows the truth, you proclaim the truth. That's just what you do. It's when you've been adopted into the first family, into God's family, you've been liberated, you've been enlightened, you've been enriched, you've been empowered by the very creator of the universe. You want to share exactly what he has done for you and how he's done it. Which means, just like Doge, your lips will not be restrained. You'll do what Larry does, what I do. You'll share the Torah. This goes on to say, you yourself know. You respect and acknowledge that I have not hidden nor concealed your means to achieve righteousness through vindication in the midst of my heart. There are those in an earthly inheritance. You know, an old rich fogey dies, and the children are all trying to cut the other children out of the inheritance. Particularly if the old fogey married a trophy wife, they're all battling each other so that they get the lion's share of the inheritance. That is not the nature with Yahweh's covenant. Now, what we inherit is the entire universe. So the riches, the benefit, is infinitely greater. And we not only inherit the entire universe as opposed to some little person's slice of monetary vestiges here on this planet, but we get access to that and ownership of the entire universe for all time, as opposed to a very brief period of time. And yet, none of the covenant children are fighting over their share. All of us would prefer that more brothers and sisters join the family. Because rather than being diminished in terms of the amount that we inherit by having more participate in the inheritance, we're actually enriched by unique perspectives, different personalities, different interpretations of the things that we're witnessing and seeing. Makes the family richer by having more people participate. And that's what Dode is saying here. That Yahweh, you yourself will respect, you know, and you acknowledge that I have not hidden or concealed the means to righteous vindication, tzedakah, in the midst of my heart. No, I've spoken about it, Dode says. The same reason I speak about it. Sure, Larry and I are participants in the covenant family. We get to inherit all that God has to give. But we are not shortchanged if others join the family. We're enriched by their addition. He says, I have spoken about your trustworthiness and your reliable nature and your salvation, your Yeshua. I've not hidden or concealed your mercy or your integrity, honesty, and steadfast reliability on behalf of the esteemed community. That's another thing that Dode came to recognize, that he, when he was coming to Yahweh, carrying the Torah, because he had accepted it and incorporated it into his life, he knew that Yahweh was going to welcome him with open arms, because Yahweh can't lie. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. That which he's promised to do in his Torah, he will do. Therefore, Dode knows that that is the source of salvation. Still speaking of the Torah, the Torah is the source of salvation. And he says, I've not hidden it. I've not concealed your mercy. And he is constantly associating vindication and integrity with the Torah. And it's a fairly bold statement for a guy to say, you know, God, I'm coming to heaven, and you can't keep me out because I'm coming with the Torah contract, and you're trustworthy. Oh, it's the bottom line to all of this. It's why Larry has found that if he constantly cites Yahweh's testimony, he can never be wrong. Doat found the same thing.
It's lovely. It's absolutely lovely being able to do that. No, you're in the right.
Correct.
You had said earlier that, I thought that Shamar was the most used, but, you know, of course it's Shem. I wasn't even thinking about that. But since Shamar is really observed, and Shem is the name, we might want to observe his name, which
correct.
Is something that's very lacking in Christianity.
I don't want to give the impression that Shem is more important than Shamar, because in Hebrew, verbs define nouns. And Shem is a noun, meaning name, that is defined by the verb upon which it is derived, and the verb is Shamar. So Shamar is the operative action, which is to observe, but the thing that since Shem is the most common noun based upon that root, it tells you that you do want to observe, and the thing that you want to observe the most is the name. And by the way, Larry, if you observe the name as it was written and etched in stone in Paleo Hebrew, it tells you everything you need to know about God, doesn't it?
Well, you got a hand reaching down, you got a person standing up, you got a tent peg in the middle stretching out. Making the covenant secure and larger, you've got a person on the other end standing up.
Right.
So you've
and
got
the reason there's two people,
a tent peg and a hanger.
Right. And the reason there's two people, it takes two to create a family, doesn't it?
It does. And I think you pointed out before that was probably, you look at that as Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But that's it takes two to create a family. Yahweh reaches down and out to us. You know, his hand is really Yahusha, the tangible manifestation of his nature. And he is the father and mother of the covenant, the set-apart spirit, and our heavenly father. And so, it's indicative of the covenant, which is a family. And a family that is secured and enriched, empowered, added to, increased, which is what the waw means in Hebrew, with the letter that stands in between them. So indeed, God's name, if you look at it, if you observe it, it will tell you what you need to know.
You're talking about hearsay, and we know that Yahweh's name, the very base root of the word Haya, meaning existence.
Right.
So he sees the past, the present, the future all at the same time, and over here in Yasha Yahuz is this. He's talking about Yahusha. He says, but he's talking about the set-apart spirit on Yahusha. He says, and she will rest on him, the spirit of Yahweh, the spirit of comprehension and discernment, spirit of advice and empowerment, knowledge, leading to understanding and reverence and respect for Yahweh. And by a reverence and respect for Yahweh's spiritual endeavors, and results, and not by the appearance of his presence, he will adjudicate, and not by listening to hearsay. Isn't that what the Christian New Testament is? A lot of hearsay.
It's just hearsay. In fact, a lot of it's not even hearsay, because half of it is Paul's letters, and that's just Paul I say. There's no hearsay in it. It's just Paul I say, but the other half is largely hearsay. And you know, it was the whole concept of who Yahusha is, and you spoke here about the set-apart spirit. You know, we have Gabriel. He comes down, he talks first to Elizabeth's husband, and speaks to him about how the Holy Spirit is a set-apart spirit, I shouldn't say. I'm sorry for Holy Spirit. But set-apart spirit is going to facilitate he and his wife having a child, and they're going to name that child Yahusha, which means Yahweh was merciful. And that then the Gabriel comes to Miriam and says, you know, I'm going to do the same thing. You know, I did this for your friend, Elizabeth. I'm going to accommodate the same thing with you. And I know you're a virgin now, but you are, you're going to have a son. And the set apart spirit is going to facilitate it just like it did with Elizabeth and the impending birth of Yahochanan. It is interesting here, particularly with all of the comments that follow, that Yosef is referred as Yosef's father, and that he actually goes to Jerusalem as declaring himself the father. And the thing that makes Yahochanan the effective witness for Yahweh is that Gabriel says that the set-apart spirit is going to be with him and a part of him even while he is in the womb. You know, I wonder if the only really distinction between Yahusha and any other individual is the passage that you just read, the degree to which the Spirit was upon him. So there really is an interesting thought here. Since Yahshayah, the book that you quoted from, Larry, introduces the Masayah by Yahusha saying that a child is born unto us, but a son is given to us. And the mannerism by which Yahusha and Yahochanan were conceived was presented as Gabriel as identical. That the only thing that really made Yahusha different than anyone else was the degree to which the set-apart spirit was on him. And it made him the Son of God, but doesn't the set-apart spirit on you and me also make us sons of God?
Well, yes, it does.
It does. And the moment that Yahusha was about ready to become the Passover lamb, did he not relinquish that same spirit?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
That way the physical body of a man could die and his soul could enter Sheol and serve to perfect us.
Yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, when the Sanhedrin was off to finally try him and get him convicted by the Romans, they needed Judas to identify him. He was just there with his group of disciples. He was just an ordinary fellow. There was nothing unique about his appearance. Just an ordinary guy, but with a lot of the of Yahweh spirit. But it shares with the thought to me is that Yosha was manifest as the son of Yahweh exactly the way that we become sons and daughters of Yahweh, immersed in the Spirit. Wouldn't that be God's way of saying I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you? It seems to be pretty clear cut, and even as then, if you look at his becoming the firstborn child on Bukodim, on firstborn children, where spirit and soul are reincorporated, but the body changes such that not only wasn't it recognized, but even with a repeat appearance, it's not recognized. So, you know, it just says that in that same way is the way that we're going to be. So, you know, everything that I see regarding this tells us that there is absolutely nothing in the so-called Christian New Testament that is one iota different than what has been presented throughout the breadth of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. There's a reason that God said that the Torah is complete, lacking nothing, that it's perfect. He wouldn't have said that if it weren't true. You don't need
perfect.
Anything.
It's the perfection, I mean, that he brought forward. He said, I'm not your typical leader. I'm going to go ahead and lead from the front.
Right.
I'm going to diminish myself and come in here, and you guys are going to spit on me and everything else, and I'm going to go ahead and allow myself to be crucified. but I'm going to fulfill the Moed Mikras, the plan. I'm going to fulfill it. Watch me.
Watch
what happens.
Yeah, that's what this psalm was saying, is that by reading the Torah, Dode came to understand exactly what Yahweh was going to do, how he was going to engage to provide vindication for us. He understood what was going to happen 1,000 years hence. It's not difficult. It's really clear when God says, this is how I'm going to lead. This is how I'm going to act. This is the role that I'm going to play in your life. And you know, if you read the prophet Yashayah, he delineates exactly how Yahweh will be the Passover lamb.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think is going to happen to the people that trash the Torah in the end? What do you think happens?
Well, I think if you disregard the Torah, you will be disregarded. If you besmirch the Torah, if you disdain the Torah, if you attack the Torah, as Christians do, then you will spend your eternity with the Torahless one. Hasatan. That's what will happen. So I think you can get by with being a person who just ignores the Torah, and at the end of your earthly life, you're going to die estranged from the Torah and from the author of the Torah. No harm, no foul. But if your question is, what happens if you actively besmirch the Torah, if you demean the Torah, if you promote Pauline Christianity, that's a different fate. That's Sheol, named after Shaul, the Paul of Pauline Christianity. Yeah, I don't think you have much hope with God if you besmirch his foundational treatise, his testimony. Thank you, Larry.